strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage.
Oh, let's go, baby! Let's go!
Presented by Santan Ford.
An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
And Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
Unleash the fury!
There we go. That's what we've come to expect around here. Abso-stinking-lutely. Let's go. Let's get this rolling. I think most of us, gentlemen, just came from University of Phoenix Stadium. Guess what? Cardinals enjoy a home field advantage somewhere else. Right here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Yes, indeed, it is the Big Red Rage. All brought to you by the guys over at Santan Ford. Tim Hovick and the boys hanging out over there. That's how we know the football season is upon us. You heard the voice of Ron Wolfley. We are joined tonight by Darren Urban, Damian Anderson. Just one title won't fit these guys. Multimedia content providers is what we're going to call them. Yours truly, Paul Calvisi. And in less than 2 weeks, Calais Campbell will be up here as the big host, and we do mean big host, absolutely, of the Big Red Rage. Wednesday, September 4th, will be the regular season debut. Calais knocked it dead last week, did he not, Wolf?
No, absolutely, Paulie. Really looking forward to Calais Campbell joining us this year. Here's a guy that obviously is an integral piece to the defense for Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians and the Cardinals and the Cardinal fans that are out there. And not only that, too, he's a guy that is affable, amiable. He's a guy that is very, very likable, and he's knowledgeable as well. So I'm really looking forward to Calais Campbell being here this year with us at Big Red Rage.
And as you brought up Darren last week, he's also got a good sense of humor, right? With the whole, his aspirations after he's done playing football, which include what exactly?
Well, he obviously loves the comedy. I don't know if I have an able word for it like Wolf had there, but he loves the comedy. He wants to get into entertainment when it's all said and done. I think he'll be a perfect host for this show.
All right, so Damian, you've already been signing autographs as a former Cardinal. We have an authentic autograph Calais up here tonight. We'll give away, so that's big news. And we're giving away plenty of tickets to the game against San Diego on Saturday night. So Cards Camp is a wrap. Let's around the horn we go. Damien, we'll start with you. A big takeaway from Cards Camp 2013.
Well, I think a big sigh of relief for the quarterback situation. You got to feel good about Carson Palmer. The defense, I mean, being opportunistic, getting so many turnovers the first two games. I mean, I can't help but feel good. And to be honest, I was a little bit questioning Rashad Mendenhall, but after seeing him last week, seeing some explosiveness, seeing him get downfield and being big and fast, I'm a fan. I mean, I'm a fan again, and I can't wait to see what happens on the field on Sundays.
That's good. One running back to another. Darren, what were your takeaways?
I don't see how you could get past the Patrick Peterson on offense part of it. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they ran a couple plays from the last couple years, and Bruce Arians has them running half the offensive plays out there at practice. It's not a little. I mean, he's out there all the time, and I'm very curious to see how much he is involved in the actual offense in games, but the mere fact that threat is there is I don't see how that couldn't be number one.
Wolf, what do you think? What do you come away with?
You know, Paulie, I'd have to say that Bruce Arians, BA, is in control. That really impacted me. I mean, here's a guy that in the third practice excoriated or otherwise vituperated Larry Fitzgerald for not making a block. And look, when that happens to the best player on the team, it brings everyone else into line because it sends a message immediately. There are no sacred cows. There are no sacred players here. If I'll jump Larry Fitzgerald for not making a block, hello, he's one of the best receivers in the National Football League. That doesn't happen to Larry Fitzgerald very often. I'll promise you that. If he'll jump Larry, guess what? He'll jump you. And that just, Damian, you know this, that sends a message to the pecking order that exists and a hyper-aggressive alpha male sport like football.
I think it was day three of camp, and I realized the urgency that was in virtually every player on that roster not named Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, or Carson Palmer. I mean, veterans, established veterans, were feeling the urgency out there and really felt the need to compete for their jobs. So, mission accomplished, if that was the objective by Bruce Arians and the staff. The other thing I came away with was how many defensive guys said, how much more aggressive and attacking this defense will be than last year? And it was sort of an eye-opener to me because I just envisioned last year's defense as ultra-aggressive. So
indeed.
I'm very, very curious to see what the regular season version looks like, no doubt about it. We're just getting rolling. Let's talk about the Cardinals, the first two preseason games, what we're looking forward to in preseason game number three. It is the Big Red Rage at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Scoring touchdowns, just executing in the red zone, just minor things. Our hot reads. Everything in the red zone is tough. I call it grimy. It's the grimy area. You got to make grimy catches. You know, little things that are very easily correctable, but I'm tired of saying them.
All right, hence the music bed here, gentlemen. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap, AC/DC. That's what he's talking about when he says grimy. Is he not, Wolf?
Absolutely. I love that. I've never heard that terminology before. Grimy catches. Dirty yards? Yeah, I understand dirty yards. I know what dirty yards are all about, ladies and gentlemen. But grimy catches? No.
We might hear that on a Cardinals broadcast. I'm going to forecast and predict that. That might come up.
Grimy.
In a Cardinals broadcast. Yes,
grease it
is
it up.
The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. We are back. Calais Campbell will join us on September 4th. Momentarily, we'll hear from Calais Campbell himself what he had to say last week. Right now, I want to hear from you guys. And, Damien, what'd you make of some of the red zone inefficiency, we'll call it, because that's definitely where the Cardinals struggle in an offense.
I mean, it's just timing. I mean, it comes a point where this team's coming together. It's obviously new. They have a lot of moving parts. And what makes me feel good is the chunk plays, as Coach Arians would say, their ability to get in the red zone on several occasions. But as he said, I mean, that's the most frustrating point. In this game, to be competitive, to go to the playoffs where this team wants to be, you have to score touchdowns, not field goals. And I think that's why he's holding his team to such high standards.
You know, I vividly remember, and back me up on this, Darren, is his opening press conference as Cardinals head coach. He mentioned it was a comment along the lines of anybody can move the ball between the 20s.
Sure.
It's when you get in the red zone that you really see an offense. And I think that's why, to him, he considers it so important. I know he has the memory of that playoff loss to Baltimore where they moved the ball up and down the field and then had problems in the red zone. So, you know, I think that's why it's front burner for Coach Arians, if nothing else.
Well, I think it's front burner for Coach Arians because you're not going to win unless you do that. I mean, let's face it. And moving the ball last year didn't happen a whole lot, unfortunately, for this team. But let's face it, not getting in the end zone did. And watching your defense create turnovers and not turning it into points did. You had some echoes there against
kinda
the Cowboys.
Kind of like the Atlanta game. That and Cowboy game was like the Atlanta game.
You can't have that. And there will be frustration. I do agree with Damien. I do think it's a timing issue. It's more of a coming together issue rather than a long-term issue. But you got to get that fixed because you're not going to win games. You're not going to keep your defense focused if they're getting you all these turnovers and you're not turning them into points.
One of the things you got to keep in mind as well is offenses change. Offenses change when they get in the red zone. You've got a package for in between the 20s. You got a brown zone package coming out of your own 20, your own goal line to the 20. You've got a four-minute package. You've got a lot of different situations and packages. You're going to use different protection schemes in the red zone because maybe your opponent has a propensity of coming after the quarterback once they get backed up inside the red zone. Some teams actually go the opposite way, if you can believe that. So the red zone is a completely different entity in and of itself. And I think you could see that, the lack of execution, the lack of reps maybe that they got in the red zone, even though, yeah, they've done pretty well at least getting there and getting into the red zone. But you got to remember, offenses change because coverages change, protection schemes change, pressure packages by defenses change once you get into that plus 20 area and in.
We saw him practicing the heavy package today, right, with double offensive tackles to the left and, you know, some of jumbo sets with multiple tight ends. And, I mean, if nothing else, Damien, when you're down there in the red zone, one small mistake, and I know some of the offensive linemen talked about that, is it's magnified because you're in the compressed territory, and one little thing like that can blow up an entire play.
Absolutely, and you're limited to the amount of opportunities that you have as well. And as you said, it's heightened, and it's a situation where every – I mean, not that the game of football isn't, but the red zone, because because you know that every play can dictate the outcome of this football game in terms of scoring points, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. And, I mean, I know for me, I know that Wolf could agree with me. I mean, ball security was the number one thing. But when you move beyond that and you're progressing as an NFL football team, you want to score points. And as Wolf said, I mean, packages change. That's so true. They become a new football team because it's essentially it depends. If they're in that 20-yard line, they're going to be trying to pass the ball. They get in that plus 10. They're going to try and run the ball, get it in, do some type of play action. So it's not only personnel, it's formation. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things going on. So I think it's a good problem that it's preseason game number two and it's not regular season game number two.
Well, the coaches asked me, I have the easy solution. It's really simple. Just throw the fade to Fitz. Yeah. Every time. Fade to Fitz, maybe the back shoulder to Floyd. Throw the ball up in traffic. Let your two big receivers go get it. You haven't done a lot with Hauser yet. By design, you haven't shown much, right? In those packages, get it to 6'5", Rob Hauser. Boom, it's done deal.
That's not a bad choice. I mean, obviously. I will say this. I mean, even down closer, I do like the pass protection they've had. It's just a question of hooking up with the passes. It was funny. I was talking to a lot of people this week. The Drew Stanton pass to Kerry Taylor, which to me looked like a bullet that was a little high and it was going to be an amazing catch. But Bruce Arians expected Kerry Taylor to make that catch.
He did.
And he's going to be – you talk about getting on Fitz for the blog. I mean, he's going to be very hard on these receivers. He was a receivers coach for a long time. He's expecting them – if the ball is anywhere in their zip code, he's expecting them to catch it. And it'll be interesting to see if the timing gets better, if these guys can make some of those catches.
One of the things I think is really going to help the Arizona Cardinals in the red zone is Larry Fitzgerald playing three different positions. Should I say knowing three different wide receiver positions, the X, the Z, and then the slot, which I call the H receiver. Now, I don't know what the Arizona Cardinals call it, but the fact that he's learning three different positions, I will promise you, is going to pay off if, in fact, he knows those different positions. He can stay off the accountability board. He's going to be doggone near unguardable, I think, in the red zone because they're going to move him around. They're going to hide him so much. And guess what? If you are going to go to great lengths as a defense to take him away in the red zone, somebody else is going to be singled up. Obviously, we're going to talk more about Larry Fitzgerald and playing three different positions, but that is going to help the Arizona Cardinals in the red zone, mark my words.
You know, it's worth noting that Coach Arians told us before the Cowboys game, right before the game, like 2 hours before kickoff, that Larry had come up to him late last week and said, "Coach, I'm finally off the board." It took him late in camp to get off that accountability board. No doubt about it. Calais said he's been on the board. Everybody has, all right? And as a reminder, Calais will debut with us here on the Big Red Rage Wednesday, September 4th. Meanwhile, we're giving away an autographed, authentic Calais Campbell jersey. Come on down. You can get in on that. And you can get in on the giveaway of tickets to the game against San Diego. By the way, if you guys are wondering what Calais had to say about hosting the Big Red Rage, here we go. Let's rewind to last week.
Serving as host now this season for the Big Red Rage. Man, it's got to rank right up there. Come on, Calais.
It's a big deal, tell you the truth. You know, over the years, seeing Bertrand Berry do it, Adrian Wilson, and Kerry Rose, I mean, I feel like, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, so I'm glad to finally be the host.
I mean, we need two hands to count how many times you've been the featured guest, right? We do. I mean, you've been on a number of times, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You kind of like being up on the stage. You like that part of life. I mean, is that something you want to explore even more?
Yes, sir. You know, I love just entertaining. I mean, that's what football is. It's entertaining. So it's part of what I do. It's who I am. Yeah, lights, camera, action, baby. I'm action.
There's only one downside is that when he stands up, and he stands up next to yours truly in particular. So that's the only downside. 6'8", Calais Campbell.
That's sort of like much anybody you stand next
it's
to.
It's sort of like right now I'm sitting next to Damian Anderson with these guns going right here. And, you know, I mean, can you swap spots, Darren? Not to disparage.
Yeah, you're disparaging.
Your own skinny-tude, but if you could sit here instead of Damien, this really isn't doing me any favors over here. Paulie Pencilneck next to those guns that he's flashing. What's
going on
here?
Yeah, you've got some problems over there, Paulie. Okay. And it's a good thing Calais didn't stand up because your head go right through his boot, his belt loop, wouldn't it? Yes.
No time for that. We have to remind everybody with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo will donate $500 to local public schools. So the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program, Wells Fargo together will go far. Patrick Peterson, how many plays in the playbook for Patrick? That's next on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Joe!
Rivers is back to throw. Pass is near side. Picked off Peterson! Patrick Peterson, 20 to the 10! Peterson to the house! Touchdown, rookie! 34-yard return by Patrick Peterson for 6.
How's that feel, Rook? Patrick Peterson knows what to do once he gets the ball, doesn't he?
He's dynamic.
Did you see the jets in the pants?
That was his first ever game at University of Phoenix Stadium 2011 preseason. It was week number 3. It was against the opponent the Cardinals are going to play on Saturday night, the San Diego Chargers. It was off Phillip Rivers, and as the Cardinals complete camp this week, in fact, today at University of Phoenix Stadium, we say welcome back in to the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And we got to go into the locker room this week, get some reaction from Patrick Peterson. In fact, our own Jim Omohundro had this question for him.
You remember the last time you played in San Diego in the preseason? What happened in that game?
Yeah, pick six. Pick six down our sideline, and we're going to get our share of plays this week, so hopefully I can get another pick six, especially on Coach Wisenhunt.
Yeah. As a talented guy there, one of the most talented guys, you know, in the NFL, Wolf, how much better is he now than he was his rookie season 2+ years ago?
Yeah, I think he's a lot better. I think he's learned a lot of the subtleties and the nuance that a corner needs to learn when you're playing man off, for example, where you're not pressing. He does very, very well in a press situation. It's not very surprising. You look at Patrick Peterson and the fact that that man is a cornerback in the NFL. Damian, can I get an amen on that?
Absolutely.
This is a very, very thick individual. And the fact that he can walk up and play press man, he does that very, very well. But man off, I think, and also learning a lot of the nuance of playing in a zone room and knowing what to do and how to bait a quarterback into making a throw. I think he's learning the nuance and the subtleties of the position.
Damian, you were on the sideline last week. When you watch a Patrick Peterson go up in press coverage on a Dez Bryant, or last year, Patrick Peterson on a Calvin Johnson, that's when you know it's NFL football, don't you?
Absolutely. It's great football. I mean, I love watching it. I mean, just to see the evolution of Patrick Peterson, as Wolf talked about, just his ability to transition and learn how to play his position better. I mean, we've seen him initially come and become an all-pro kick returner and then an all-pro corner, and then now he's getting more playing time on offense. So we can only imagine that hopefully he progresses and does the same thing offensively. But, I mean, when you look at the dynamics of Patrick Peterson, how he's able to impact the game, I mean, it's really freakish. I mean, I know that our own GM, Steve Keim, talked about him being similar to Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, and it's very true. It's a rarity that you see a guy 6'1", 220 pounds running a sub 4.3. I mean, I don't think that people understand what he is in terms of football player. And there's only one other guy that I would say that I would like him to, and Anquan Boldin wasn't the biggest, wasn't the fastest, but you could put him on the field at any other position, and he would have been all pro at that position.
Agree with
and
that.
That's very similar to Patrick Peterson. You could put him anywhere. I like him as running back. I like him as punt returner, safety. You could throw him anywhere on the football field. He's such a great athlete and has all those intangibles of being big, being strong, being fast. He could play anywhere on the football field and be an all-pro.
Yeah. The only other guy to do that, by the way, is a return guy, and then as a corner was Rod Woodson, by the way, to go to Pro Bowl and do it in that fashion. When Steve Keim made that comment, guys, I mean, I didn't bat an eye. I know nationally maybe a lot of people aren't that familiar with the athleticism, but I didn't even blink when he said that.
I think it has to be taken in context. I mean, Damien said it the right way. It was the comparison was the athleticism. It wasn't saying he's reached the level of Deion Sanders or that he's going to be Bo Jackson. It wasn't that. It was the athleticism, the ability to do different things. And let's face it, he's already done that by showing what he can do on offense. I mean, watching him on a daily basis, watching him make catches, watching him run routes already pretty well. I mean, he's already showing that part of what Steve Keim was talking about.
Earlier this week, he blew by Justin Bethel, who's one of the top 10 most athletic guys on this team. Just blew by him, like a 9 route. Actually had to slow up for the pass, and it was a touchdown pass, and he dunked it over the crossbar. What do you think he's going to do for the Cardinals offense, Wolf?
You know, he's going to change their offense, I think, significantly when he's out there, and that's the question right now. How many snaps is Patrick Peterson actually going to get offensively? I would guess right now, this is just me, pure speculation, 10 to 15 reps. Somewhere in there, I think that Patrick Peterson will get. They're expanding the playbook for Patrick Peterson. Look, I can tell you this right now. The scariest thing to a defensive coordinator when we talk about Patrick Peterson is not bringing Patrick Peterson in the game and then, oh, here comes the herky-jerky, the chicanery, the trickeration. Here comes some type of trick play. That is not going to scare many defensive coordinators. What will scare defensive coordinators is when you go with a 4-wide package and you bring Patrick Peterson in, he lines up in the slot, lines up on the perimeter, and runs a 4-wide route, runs a 5 route, because even if he doesn't get the ball, because that defensive coordinator knows what comes off that 4 route, what comes off that five route. That's what will scare a defensive coordinator when you start using your base offense, your mundane offense, and running very mundane and germane plays. That'll scare a defensive coordinator quicker than anything else.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because that's what Patrick was talking about today. He mentioned the fact that there's up to 60 plays now that he runs in the playbook, and obviously they're not all going to be in every game. But one of the things he made the point of was what he was embracing was the plays he would be in on as a decoy, as a guy to take the top off the defense. Patrick said that himself, so you're once again brilliant, Wolf. But, I mean, they're going to use him as a decoy. They're going to use him so they get Fitz open, get Floyd open, all those guys open. I mean, it's not just, hey, if he's in the game, we got to get him the ball.
I'm telling you, they run a four route with him, and he catches a four route, pass out the Imodium.
Well, day one, Bruce Arians made it known he wants a speed threat in his offense. You know, it's one of the reasons he signed Mike Thomas this week because, yep, you know, he ran a 4-3. You know, I mean, they want that. He knows what it can do for his offense, and if nothing else, open it up for everybody else. He also wants competition at virtually every position, even kicker. That is next. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. It'll be a 30-yard attempt by Jay Feely, who's stepping it off. The snap, the kick, plenty of leg, and he missed it. He missed it.
How would you assess Jay Feely's camp and preseason game so far?
Solid until he missed that short one. And we spoke to each other about that. Not acceptable.
Darren, was that your question there at the Bruce Arians
press
conference?
That was my question, as a matter of fact.
We wondered if he was going to answer it, or was it just sort of a dramatic pause? Did Jim Alejandro enhance that, or was that the real pause?
That
right
was
there?
The real pause. It was about 4 seconds, and you could tell he was mulling what he wanted to say.
It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. Calais Campbell will be the host this year. He'll join us Wednesday, September 4th, 6 o'clock here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford as we kick off the regular season. Guess what? Speaking of, this is all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Jay Feely and Dan Carpenter. It is about you. How would you assess things right now? If you're either guy, Damian, spending all the years you have in a locker room, you're either Jay Feely or even Dan Carpenter at this point, what are you thinking and feeling?
Dan Carpenter, you're looking at it as an opportunity to make a football team. If you're Jay Feely, you're looking at it as you know what the situation is. You're very aware of what's happened. As the last interview stated, the coach is upset. I'm sure he's upset with himself being the perfectionist that he is, and you got to make those kicks. I mean, especially in this league, when that happens, the NFL goes from National Football League to not for long. I mean, you don't get many opportunities in this league because everything means so much. Every play means so much, especially in the kicking game. You need those points.
And when it's a new staff, Wolf, right? I mean, prove it. I mean, you got to. I mean, once upon a time, Adrian Wilson wore that T-shirt, especially in this case. And when you're a kicker, there's sort of that bond between a coach and a kicker at times.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. I think there are two things right now that Jay Feely would be probably a little bit concerned about. Number one, he's 37 years old. He's 37 years old. Now, there have been kickers that have, you know, kicked past 37 years old, but Jay Feely is up there. There's no doubt about it. And number two is that he has no history with Bruce Arians. Now, that can be a good thing and that can be a bad thing. Coaches are creatures of habit. And if you're a kicker that actually has made some big kicks for a coach in his career, they do not forget that stuff. They do not forget that stuff easily. And they're almost like good luck charms for a lot of the coaches that are out there. Now, I don't mean to demean kickers in any way, shape, or form, but
sure, well,
they've got their feelings, their emotions, their superstitions about a kicker and a guy that has made big kicks for them in the past. Jay Feely is 37 right now, and to me, the fact that you've got a new head coach, that is working against him, frankly.
You know, if I'm a head coach, I try and figure out how my kicker does under pressure. Well, it's impossible. It's practice. It's the preseason. You know what I do? I bring in a guy right at the very end, a guy who beat him out of Miami in 2008. And I see, okay, how does he react to the pressure now? And now we see him in these next two games, maybe just one game. You know, maybe it's just the second half. But I'm going to see how he reacts in practice. He had all four of his field goal attempts yesterday. Carpenter came out today and kicked pretty well from what I understand. All right, so let's see how this goes in a game. But if nothing else, it gives you a gauge of how your kicker reacts to pressure because his job is on the line, just like a game could be on the line multiple times during the season.
Or, as Arian said the other day, I mean, he was talking about the 30-yard miss. I mean, that was an under-pressure kick that were up against the clock. And Jay said that there were some late things. They got the snap off late, and he should have taken it. He told us yesterday he should have taken a delay of game instead of rushing it. That's under pressure, too, and he missed it. I agree with a lot of what Wolf is saying. I think Steve Keim has made it very clear. I think this coaching staff has made it clear that they're going to look to upgrade all the time. Kicker is going to be no different. You know, I think they would like a situation where maybe kickoffs maybe go a little deeper once in a while. I mean, Jay doesn't have the strongest leg, part of it because he's 37. And I agree with what you're saying. I mean, there's pressure in game situations. It will be interesting to see how this plays out. And I'm very interested, even beyond just the kicker, but I think this position in particular could keep going on, even if Jay beats out Dan Carpenter. I mean, do you keep searching out there? If Dan Carpenter's not your guy, has Jay Feely said some or done something that you want to keep looking? Because they might.
Any other position, guys? Any other position you think is still up for grabs? They're still deciding on a starter? Any other spot? What about the two tackle positions? What about right guard? Anything? And is there anywhere on this roster that hasn't been decided, you think? Damian?
I don't know. I mean, it's such good competition. It's such good depth. To me, it's more it's going to come down to the last 5 to 10 players on the football team. How do they decipher who makes this football team? Because I think you feel good about your tackles, your right guard, whether it be college or Fanica. I mean, I think you feel good there, even at the cornerback position. To me, it's that last 10. Who's going to make the team? Who's going to make plays on special teams? It's going to be great football to watch.
Hey, a reminder, Cardinals single game tickets now on sale. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or visit Ticketmaster.com. All right, we're coming back in the Big Red Rage here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford.
Water.
Give now here on first down, Rashard Mendenhall, room off tackle to the left side across the 30.
It's good. You know, this is kind of last opportunity as the ones kind of put things together before we go out and head into the season where it all counts. So just another kind of opportunity to sharpen our sword before, you know, it all counts.
Oh, Rashard Wolf, right out of your vernacular right there. Maybe on the team plane, you, Rashard Mendenhall, have a nice long talk about medieval times.
Man, I love that, Paulie. Think about that. Let's hope it's a two-edged broadsword that he's sharpening, right?
Yeah, it's entirely enough. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Damian Anderson, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. We're running the no huddle in the absence of the big guy, Calais Campbell. By the way, we're giving away an autographed, authentic Calais Campbell jersey at the end of the broadcast. Come on down, get in on that, and get in on the giveaway tickets to the San Diego Chargers game Saturday night. All right, running back. How would you assess the position right now? Once again, reiterate your comments. You saw Rashard Mendenhall, Damian, right? Okay, one running back to another. What did you see against the Cowboys?
I mean, I saw that it's something that I hadn't seen all camp. I saw explosiveness. I saw him getting downhill, breaking tackles, and just running, as Wolf say, with authority. I mean, you couldn't help but feel good about that. And assessing the running back position, you got to say there's depth there. I mean, you have Steph Taylor. You have
Andre Ellington,
and just his explosiveness I love. I love seeing him in the open field. And there's one thing about when you get young backs that transition to the league that are fast, they just want to get to the outside and run as fast as they possibly can. But one thing about Ellington, he'll make that cut and put that foot in the ground and get upfield, and that's what you like about him. And then you go with the horse, Rashard Mendenhall, his ability to do everything. I think that's what coach likes about him, protect the quarterback. He's a good receiver and obviously run downhill. And what's the question mark and what's going to happen? I'm sure that Darren could talk a little bit more is Ryan Williams' factor. And I know that Darren and I have seen him close in this offseason, work very, very hard. He's not a guy that's going to wow you at practice. He's going to do better by being in the football game, making guys miss, breaking tackles. And that's what you really see about Ryan Williams. But with this coaching staff, it's about more so what have you done for me lately?
Well, and we did see him out of practice today. Unfortunately, it wasn't a full speed practice. It was more of a game day walkthrough type thing.
Well, it was in between. I wouldn't call it a walkthrough, but they were clearly. I mean, there were shells and shorts, and you know, once you had that initial burst of the play, nobody was going super hard. And
for example, he said there wasn't a situation where he actually went full out and tested and cut on that knee.
No, and there wasn't. No, and for him to talk about it was his first of all, it was his first practice since July 28th. So,
wow.
I mean, that's a long time off. And then he said afterwards he would definitely be suited up in the Charger game. We'll see how that goes. I don't doubt that he'll be suited up. Now, whether they'll play him or not, I'm very curious to see and how he reacts to getting hit. I mean, we've all known Ryan since he came in the league. It's only been 3 years, but I've spent a lot of time around him. He's always around in the offseason. I've talked to him a ton of times because usually in the dead times, he's the one player who's always there.
He's a football junkie.
He is, and he's always working, and it's a shame to have what has happened to him. But he said many times when he's come back afterwards, I was not ready, or I was afraid, or I was scared to get hit. And I got to be honest, there's a part of me, if he goes into this game, I'm wondering, he's not saying that now, but I'm wondering if down the road he's going to go, well, when I went into that game, I was worried about getting hit. And unfortunately, it's the reality of this league. Damian can speak to it more. Wolf can speak to it more. It's a use him up and throw him out league. And if he's not ready to play and he can't play, they'll throw him out and get somebody else.
But 2011, he was the second running back taken in that draft. He was a high second-round pick, Wolf, that they were very high on. Where do you rate the level of urgency right now, Brent?
Well, look, hopefully he's urgent. Hopefully he senses that, and he's got that urgency, okay? But look, Paulie, if you're not ready mentally, if you just can't get over that hump, you're not going to get over that hump. That's all there is, and there's no getting around it. And the one thing I will say about the running back position right now is running backs are going to have more to do with how the Arizona Cardinals throw the football than at any other point since I've been the color analyst here. Look, play action is a huge part of what Bruce Arians does. Play action. Well, if you want an effective play action component to your offense, you better be able to run the ball. You better be able to run the ball and run it well. Run the ball and gain positive, effective yardage. Your play action better be strong. Your running back better be able to fake. Your cue better have good mechanics as well, which I do believe Carson Palmer has. And your offensive line has got to sell it as well. Play action is a huge component of the Bruce Arians offense, and you better have a running back that can threaten a defense in a rundown situation. You better have offensive linemen that are selling the fake, and you better be able to throw it over the top. And that, to me, the Cardinals have.
And your back better be able to pass protect, which brings us, can I say, the best pass protecting running back on this team is a guy we haven't mentioned, Alphonso Smith. Can I make that statement?
Dang.
Absolutely. And Wolf and I have seen those blitz pickup drills, and it's something from the dark ages. It's very barbaric, and it's no holds barred, Hulk Hogan style. Just guys land right up there, and they're going face-to-face, face mask to face mask.
Is he on this team, Alphonso Smith? Is he on the fight for 53? Does he make it?
He's fighting, but he has to make some big plays. We talk about chunk plays. He's got to make some chunk plays.
I think it'll have to do with Ryan Williams. If they want to keep Ryan Williams, I don't think Alphonso Smith makes it.
Steve Keim was very honest, very straightforward last week in the Big Red Rage, and he assessed where they were in a lot of the decisions that they have to make here. Get down to 53 by the end of the month. We'll revisit some of those and talk about this roster next. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
The wave of wire hits at 1, and Jason Light, our vice president of player personnel, and I, we scurry to get the waiver wire.
So we're like
two kids at Christmas praying that we see a name we like. But, oftentimes at this point in the camp, we're disappointed because, you know, it's a pair of jammies, not a Lego set. So
this roster is ever evolving, and will it continue to evolve throughout the season? Can we assume that?
We will always keep the foot on the pedal.
Can I just say that Steve Keim hasn't scurried anywhere in his life?
Wow. That was an epic addition to the Big Red Rage, by the way, with Steve Keim and some of the insight, right? And he pulled the curtain back for us in the Big Red Rage a week ago. Now, a week from now or so, it'll be September 4th, Wednesday, September 4th, Calais Campbell will join us, and he will be your host of the Big Red Rage. For now, Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Damian Anderson, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. So, maybe he got the Lego set, or maybe a few Legos this week under the tree there, Darren, as he got Mike Thomas and Dan Carpenter.
Right.
And it's just evidence that he's not kidding. He will. I made a little reference earlier in the week about, I picture this blender in Steve Keim's corner office, and he just keeps hitting the churn button on the blender, and he's going to do that all season long.
I was talking to somebody in the organization. We were just kind of talking today, and we're estimating how many moves this team will make after final 53 cuts from the rest of the league. How many waiver changes, moves will they make from the time that this team announces its 53-man roster till the time they get back to practice? I'm trying to think of the way. I don't think they could get out there by Monday, but by Wednesday practice before the regular season opener, how many?
What's the over-under? What'd you guys determine?
I said three. He said he thought maybe four.
Wow.
Now, again, we're just speculating, guessing. It depends on who's out there and all, but you never had that. I mean, there would make maybe one move, but I mean, and that can all, is always a possibility, but I think that speaks more to the reputation Steve Keim's already built.
Well, he was named January 8th. There have already been 100 roster transactions since he was named general manager. What does that do to the locker room, Damian? What's the mindset of a player when the GM is that active?
Well, it shows that you have to go out there and make plays, that if your position as a running back or as a wide receiver, even as a quarterback, or let's even go with kicker, the great example, bringing in Carpenter, it's to kick field goals. And if it's a running back, protect the quarterback, catch the football, run adequately, and make things happen. And what this coaching staff and not only the GM, general manager, the player personnel, they're holding every person on this 53-man roster. Now it's over, what, Darren, where are we at, 90-something?
No, well, I mean,
total players,
you can only be 90.
Just under 90. Holding every single player in this team accountable, because as you could see with all the transactions with the players coming in and out, they want to put the best product on this football field, not for the fans, but for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, that's what Steve Keim's about. I mean, I think that we've saw that throughout. I mean, just my personal relationship, knowing Steve, and just you just knew once he was going to get a hold of this football team, he was going to come out the barn storming, and he's done that. I mean, I don't think any position safe, because he wants the best product on the football field.
Look, one of the problems that every veteran on this team faces right now is the triumvirate of terror, so to speak. Anytime you've got a general manager and he's brand new, guess what? He doesn't have a lot of allegiances that are out there on a football team. And every football player, every veteran in that locker room knows this guy doesn't have a lot of allegiance to me. Then you've got the coaching staff as well. They're in prove-it mode. They want to see veterans prove it. It's one of the reasons why veterans can't stand coaching changes, because they know they're going to have to come in and they're going to have to prove it to the coaching staff all over again like a rookie. And then the third component of that, the third part of that, all these new faces, over 50 new faces brought into the organization by Steve Keim, the general manager. Guess what? Those faces, they have names. And those names, they want your job.
Well, just like Darren was wondering on the sideline today, talking to his sources, we asked Steve Keim and the Big Red Rage, all right, is this going to be ongoing? What's the forecast for the rest of the season?
We will always keep the foot on the pedal. You know, we are going to be extremely active, bringing players in on Tuesdays during the season, trying to upgrade the back end of our roster. Again, you know, your top probably 30 to 35 players are usually set in stone, but it's that back half that you can continually churn. And you just have to be aggressive. You have to be smart about it. And we will continue to make transactions all through the season.
Where, Darren? Where? What positions do you think he's looking for right now? I mean, what do you think? When stuff comes over the transaction wire, what position is he looking at?
Yeah, Wolf just jotted down. But trust me, I was already going there anyways.
I know that.
I blogged about it this morning.
Based on our conversation.
Exactly.
These guys are rushing to the answer.
Tight end has got to be number one. The position is just too important to Bruce Arians' offense, to what they have. And with all due respect to, I mean, we think we know what Rob Hauser is going to bring. He hasn't fully proved it yet, but Bruce Arians seems very confident in what he can bring to the table. And I think Jim Dre has remarkably shown a real staying power, both with the old regime and with Bruce Arians. I have no doubt he's got a spot in this staff or this roster. And even Corey Sperry's shown some things. But you've got to have at least four tight ends, if not five, for the things that he wants to do. And beyond that, I think there's question marks. Jeff King's been hurt. DC Jefferson is incredibly raw. I think that's definitely a position that they need to look at, number one. There's no question receiver. Even with Mike Thomas, they're going to look very carefully at receiver. I have no doubt about that. You know, maybe a defensive lineman, possibly a versatile defensive lineman. And again, I wouldn't wipe out anything. If there's a particular player that they really like, I don't care what position he is, I think they'll make room for him, and we could have a surprise cut.
You know, Seattle, when that regime took over 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was notorious for that the first couple of years. I mean, they made over 200 transactions 1 year. I think that's where this is trending. I think, you know, by the time we get to the end of this year, I mean, you're just going to be similar. He's just continually looking. And you know what? If it takes 20 players to find a keeper, I think they're going to do that. I think that's the mindset, Damian.
Well, as Steve said, I mean, they're going to stay active, and that's been indicative of all the transactions that they've made thus far, Paulie, and we haven't even got to the season opener.
What about quarterback, Wolf? You think, are they going to keep three quarterbacks? Is Ryan Lindley on this team?
Really have no idea how many quarterbacks they're going to keep. I just know that competition is the word in this training camp. Starters are competing to earn BA's trust. Backups are competing for playing time in the back end of your roster. They're competing for jobs. Competition has been fostered in this training camp to a degree that I haven't seen in my 9 years.
And I tell you, the depth chart maybe isn't as loaded as anywhere except cornerback. I mean, it is really deep in the defensive secondary. We'll get to that next. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back right after this. Low snap in the shotgun. Horton grabs it, throws it, picked off. It is picked off by Jerrod Powers at the 30. He is touched down by the Cowboys. Jerrod Powers and most of the defense celebrating all the way to the Cardinals sideline.
Jerrod Powers sitting in coverage, not sure what Kyle Orton saw on that play, but he threw it right into the thick of the coverage. Jerrod Powers, all he had to do was just step up and make the play. He was able to do that. Cardinals are in great field position.
Training camp is over. When training camp started, that was a competition to see who would be the starting corner alongside Patrick Peterson. Gentlemen, has Jerrod Powers won that competition?
I believe so, yes. When talking to Coach Ross going into the first game, and I asked him just that. I mean, obviously Patrick Peterson has got one side locked down, and Coach, you've got nothing but abundance of talent at the other side. You've got the kid from San Diego, Powers that you've acquired, and then Javier Arenas. I mean, Wolf, you and I, we saw him in the blitz pickup
love
drill.
That kid.
I mean, he's a thumper. He's a firecracker, and he's tough as nails. And I remember one practice watching him. Larry went up to him in one-on-one drills and was like, "Hey, man, calm down a little bit." And you have to appreciate a guy that goes about his job in the right way, because he's not as big as you want him to be, tall or as fast, but he's just a great football player. But back to the story, I asked Coach Ross. I'm like, "Coach, what's going to come down to it? You have so much talent here at this position. What's going to be your determining factor?" And he said, "Damian, you know what? It's not necessarily practice. I know all these guys can play. They've got the familiarity of their, you know, of their teammates. It's going to come down to eliminating big plays in the game." And it was funny because we were in Green Bay, and then Kaysen had that big play right at the goal line. Next series, Powers was in there. You know, and I'm like, okay, I see where this is trending. And then last week, Powers had an interception. He caused a fumble. And I think that Coach Ross is a little bit more comfortable with Powers being at that position.
Although Powers got very lucky because he got burned very badly.
Yeah,
if Tony Roma had any kind of accuracy on that deep ball,
but
he would have gotten
burned. He did stumble coming out of his back pedal. So
I think
he made up for it.
Powers is the guy. I think Powers is the guy for a lot of reasons, in part because you talk about coaches and their guys. I mean, Jerrod Powers is one of his guys. And it's funny, I've talked to him. He didn't really see himself as an Arians guy, but if you talk to Arians about Powers, it's clear Powers is one of his guys. So that's why I think that he's in there, and he can do so many different things. It's a coach on the field. Those guys are all going to play. I think they're going to keep a lot of these cornerbacks.
But, I mean, my question is how does Honey Badger fit in there? I mean, because he comes down to nickel. You got two safeties in Johnson and Bell, and then you got Honey, but you want him on the field because his playmaking ability, you know, he's keeping one, in theory, corner off the football field.
Yeah, but I think that's a good problem to have right now. They've had too many times in the past where they didn't have enough corners.
And it's not only that, too. I think Honey Badger's going to play corner. I think he's going to be the nickel corner. I think he's going to line up in the slot, and they're going to do a lot of things with the Honey Badger. I think they're going to roll him off the slot. I think they're going to put him into the box. They're going to bring him on delayed blitzes. This guy is a playmaker, and the one area I'd like to see them use Honey Badger is more towards the middle of the field, and that's something else we could see as a nickel corner. You could back him off and play his own and let him dissect a play and use those great instincts that he has to make plays on the ball. And you know what? I can't believe we went this long without talking about Tyrann Mathieu.
You're right.
It's unbelievable.
I'd like to amend my initial takeaway off the top of the show. You know, one of my big takeaways is just how much of a student of the game we hear Tyrann Mathieu is. That he started by sitting in the front row. He sat in the front row for every single DB meeting, and he's learned three positions, and he's been flawless in his schoolwork.
You got to be kidding me. Three different positions, base defense, nickel, dime. He's playing nickel corner, and safety. You've got to be kidding me. You know how complex the National Football League is? I'll tell you right now, I don't know what this kid's wonderlic is, but that is a Einstein when he walks in between those white lines.
Coaches have raved about his football intelligence. There's no doubt about it. We wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center next. Hey, get familiar with the NFL new bag policy before attending games at University of Phoenix Stadium. Visit azcardinals.com/bag policy. All right, we're running the two-minute drill here, gentlemen, on this edition of the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Damian Anderson, Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, and in that order, we're going to go ahead with something and someone you're looking for. Damian, your offense, Darren, defense, Wolf, special teams, you're a four-time Pro Bowler. Go, Damian.
Offensively, obviously, red zone execution. I look for that timing to be cleaned up, and I'm looking for a guy that has a great opportunity to make the team, one Kerry Taylor. Chandler's own. I mean, went here to Hamilton, ASU Pride. I mean, I'm looking for him to take advantage of a great opportunity.
Right. Darren on the defense.
I would think something I'm looking for is a pass rush. I know Bruce Arians said this week that he thought they were doing a pretty good job getting quarterbacks off their mark, but I do think they need to get a little more pressure back there. And I know they're not doing a lot of things right now schematically, but I think you need to see a little bit more of that. And as a player, I want to see Carlos Dansby. He hasn't played in a game yet. He's an important cog, especially knowing the fact that Darrell Washington's going to be suspended. And I want to see what he's doing. He's going to do out there in a live game situation.
Wolf on special teams.
You know, I think the special teams unit has the opportunity to be one of the best in the National Football League. When you talk about the cover teams in particular, you're talking about Justin Bethel. I think Justin Bethel may be one of the best gunners in the National Football League right now.
Ding.
And then, of course, Lorenzo Alexander, a guy that has already been to the Pro Bowl as a special teams player in the NFC. This guy is nails when it comes to being in transition. And then you got the Honey Badger, of course, and you've got Patrick Peterson. Both returning punts. They have the makings of a great special teams unit. I want to see that develop in game three.
And I'll operate under the don't bury the lead. Ryan Williams. I want to see Ryan Williams. He doesn't have a 34 on his jersey. He has a big question mark. I want to see what he's able to do out there. Hey, folks, how about a big round of applause for our own Jim Omohundro, who is 37 years of age today.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Holmes. Even though Wolf disparaged 37-year-olds about 14 times in this edition when you're talking about a certain veteran kicker.
The Grandmaster Sensei, game day producer in the National Football League, Jim Omohundro, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, special thanks, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. Hey, for Damian Anderson, Darren Irvin, and Ron Wolf, we all Paul Calvisi. We'll see you all season long in the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.